Praise God. Praise God. Good morning. Welcome to the Holiness Christian Church Divine Worship Service. This is Sister Lorna Wood, and I'm your moderator for today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, it's a day of praise and of worship and of thanksgiving, because it's a day that was not promised to us, but it's through the grace and mercies of God where we're able to experience it, to enjoy it, and to give God thanks and praise for it. At this time, I will just have our praise and worship leader, Sister Lordy Mids, come with the praise and worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Eternal Father and our God, we come before you today with our hearts wide open and our hands open, lifted high to you, God. We acknowledge your presence this morning and we say there is none like you. We say blessed be your name. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we come before you this morning, we just want to give you the praise that you deserve. We want to give you the glory that you deserve. Mighty God, we honor you. You are so majestic. And my prayer today, God, is that your spirit would descend on us in a rich and powerful way. I pray that our minds would just be renewed and you would help us to be aligned with whatever it is that you are doing in our lives. I pray that you will just meet the need of everyone today on this conference line and that while you are doing that, that you get the glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We thank you this morning, Jesus. You are so worthy. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works." And that is so true. We see God's mercy in everything. We see his hand in everything. The fact that we're alive this morning means that his hand is on us, protecting us and guiding us. So we want to proclaim his goodness this morning because he is so, so good. Hallelujah. We thank you, God.
May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battle end the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battle end the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good. See, may your whole life prove that God is good.
Hallelujah. We want to be near the cross. We want to tell you how much we need you, God. We give you praise this morning.
Let your bad days prove the way they should, and may your whole life prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
Hallelujah. Let's just bless his name this morning. Let us just tell him of all the good things that he's done for us. The fact that we have oxygen in our lungs this morning. Oh my goodness. God, you are so merciful. You are so kind to us, God. You give us things we don't even deserve. Your goodness, it runs after us, mighty God. Oh, there is none like you, Jesus. None like you, God. No one can compare, God. You're magnificent, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Jesus.
Like that God is good. May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. He may your whole life prove that God is good. May your struggle keep you near the cross. May your trouble show that you need God. May your battle end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. You are so, so faithful. Such a good, good Father to us, God. And we want to bless your name this morning. Hallelujah.
I worship you, Lord. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, now there's a voice to say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Sing that with me this morning.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, never let my voice say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh. My provider, yes, Lord, you're Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, now the lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Yes, Lord, you're Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Yes, Lord, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. And I worship you because of who you are. And I worship you because of who you are.
Hallelujah, God. We worship you this morning because of who you are, our Jehovah Jireh, our Prince of Peace, our everlasting Father. We give you praise and thanks this morning. I now hand over the rest of the service back to Sister Lorna.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Lordine, for reminding us why we're here this morning, why we gather together in this way, despite of what's happening around us. We know who God is because of who you are, Lord. We give you glory. Because of who you are, we give you praise. Because of who you are, we will lift our voice and sing. Lord, we will worship you because of who you are, in spite of, in the good times and in the bad times, you are still God. And we are here this morning to lift up our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving to you, God, because, God, you are good. You are good. You are good. You are an awesome God, and you are worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same. You are worthy to be praised. And so we come this morning uniting our minds, our hearts, our spirits just to worship you, Lord. And we pray, O God, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will truly be acceptable to you this morning, because we come bringing back a small portion of our sacrifice, because, Lord, we cannot We cannot repay you for your mercies and your grace that you keep giving and giving, but we do know that you say this is the day that we must come together and worship you as a body, as a unit, as a people of God. So have your way in our midst today, we praise. We give you honor, glory, and praise. At this time, I'll just ask our pastor, Alvin Newton, to come forward with the pastoral prayer.
Thank you, Sister Lana. Good morning, everyone. This is a blessed day. We celebrate today as Resurrection Day. Every Sunday, we look at Sundays as Resurrection Day, and we pause to give God thanks and to praise and to magnify His name. This is a special day in the house of the Lord, and we want to acknowledge God's goodness, His grace, and His mercy. I think also today is being celebrated as Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. And so many of our people, friends, relatives, and loved ones have been affected by this disease. But we trust and we pray and we commit everyone who has been touched by this plague to the Lord today. For we know and we believe that nothing is impossible with God. He can do everything. So as you are online today, whether you have been affected by it or not, or you know someone, some family, some friend who have been affected by breast cancer and other form of cancer, we are going to believe God today as we look to Him that He will grant deliverance to those that are affected. The psalmist encouraged us to give thanks unto the Lord, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, and hath given to all flesh food. God has given to us life, and health, and peace, and joy in Him. So, Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayers. Your word encourages us to come unto you, all who are heavy laden, all who are oppressed, all who are burdened down, and you will give rest, you will give relief. We come to you this day, confessing, Lord, that of ourselves we are nothing. We can't even walk without you holding our hands. We come to you this morning in our sad state, in our distress, in our state of mourning because we have lost loved ones, because we have been oppressed by the enemy. And Lord, at times it seems as if there is no way out for us. But we are glad that your word says we should look unto you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So this morning, Lord, we come to you, we present the service to you. We ask your blessing upon everything that shall be done in this service. We pray you will bless and anoint everyone that participated in this service. We pray a special blessing on your words and a special anointing on your servant who shall bring forth your word. For Lord, your words are life and light. And so we depend on you to make your words plain to us today through your servant so that we'll be able to be obedient to you. We look to you on behalf of those who are sick. Great physician, sympathizing Jesus, one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we come to you today on behalf of the sick ones. We specially lift up those that are affected by cancer, whether it's breast cancer or colon or pancreatic cancer, whatever it is. There are many who have been affected by this disease, Father. And this day we come to you and we pray for deliverance for everyone. You are the great physician. Nothing is impossible with you. So, Lord, we commit everyone to you, our family, our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, whoever it is today, Lord, that has been affected by this disease. We are committing them into your hands, and we ask for deliverance. Take full control, Lord, and bless the rest of the service. We wait upon you in thanksgiving, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. At this time, I'm going to be singing hymn number 327 in your hymnal, and it's Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. Higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand
Thy faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Praise God. That should be our prayer. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Oh, God, praise God. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Praise God, praise God. At this time, we're going to have the scripture lesson, which is taken from Psalms 9, reading from verse 1 to 11. And we'll have our brother Aaron Newville read it in our ears. Praise God.
Morning, church. Today I'll be reading to you Psalms 9, 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Just follow along as I read it into your ears. I will begin. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew thee forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will praise to thy name, O thy most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in thy throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be refuge for the oppressed and refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will be their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. 11th and last, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his dwellings.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for the reading this morning. At this time, we're going to have our welcome and announcements by Sister Samantha Fisher.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. Please continue to pray for our Pastor Newton, who is on medical leave. Greetings to our Reverend Bardowell. Greetings to all the leaders and members. If there are any first-time visitors, we welcome you. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, and also for those who have lost their loved ones. Here are our announcements. Election Day is coming up, and the church has called an Election Day prayer and fasting. The church will be holding a 7-day fast for the upcoming election, starting on October 27th and ending on November 2nd. Mm-hmm. The fasting hours are as follows. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a 12-hour fast. For those of you who are unable to fast for the 12 hours, you can fast from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. or from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Everyone is encouraged to participate in the 7-day fast. We want to see the Lord move in our country. We want to have a safe election. Praise Fest. Please remember our holiday dinner, which will be held on December 12th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. We are taking orders now. Place your orders via Sister Jessie Campbell or Sister Marlene Gordon. Please see our WhatsApp group for their phone numbers. Additionally, you can complete your order by filling out the digital menu card. It is available online on our Facebook page and on our holinesschristianchurch.org page. The women's dinner occurred last night. It was a success. Congratulations, the women's ministry. Happy birthday to all who celebrated their birthday in October. And please remember our prayer meeting on this line every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday mornings from 6:30 to 7:30, and on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. Please visit the church's website, holinesschristianchurch.org, to find out all the methods to pay your tithes and offerings. The online donation is available for those who wish to utilize this option. Please bear the announcements in mind and have a blessed Sunday.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Samantha, for the welcome and the announcements. Praise God. At this time, we're going to have the offertory portion of our service, and I will just sing, give thanks with a grateful heart, after which I'll ask our deacon, Andel Brady, to come forward with the offertory prayer. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Give thanks. This morning before our prayer, I just want to give thanks to our supporters, our members, and all those that are still contributing to the work of God. It's really needed in this time, and on behalf of the Holiness Christian Church of the Bronx, the board, the clergy, and all our members, we want to again say thank you for your support in a real time of need. Let us pray. Father God, what can we give back unto you for one who has given himself as a ransom for many? We could give up for a service, and we could give up ourselves. This morning, Lord, we'll be giving back as an offering of thanksgiving to you in the form of our tithes and a regular offering. We pray, O God, that as we lift our hands in recognition of our offering and tithes, that you may accept our offering and tithes this morning, O God. We pray for those who continue to ally to give to you. We pray for a continuous blessing. For those that have the mindset to give but still cannot afford, we pray, O God, that you'll open doors for them, so they could be a part of this giving. We look to your Father, and we continue to give the thanks for all you have done for us yesterday, what you're doing for us today, and what you'll do in the future. We give this glory, and we give it the praise, and say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Brady. Praise God. At this time, I want you to just sit back, relax, and listen to this special selection by our evangelist, Newville. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Glory be to God.
Praise God.
To all God's ministering servants and all our online congregation, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for today. The song I would like to do for you today, titled Wasted Years. Praise God. Wasted Years. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Have you wandered as long On life's pathway, have you lived without love, a life of fear? Have you searched for life, need and meaning, or is your life filled with long, long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years. How foolish has you wandered in darkness and affair? Turn around, turn around, God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted end. Search for wisdom and seek understanding, and there is someone who always cares and understands. Give it up, give it up, that load you are bearing. You can't go on in a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. How foolish as you walk on in darkness and fear. Turn around, turn around, and God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted end. Search for wisdom and seek understanding. There is someone who always cares and understands. And give it up, give it up, the load you are bearing. You can't go on, you can't go on in a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you walk on in darkness and fear. Turn around and turn around, and God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Praise God. Praise God. God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Evangelist Newville. Oh, praise God, praise God. Beautiful selection. I just love Sister Newville and the way she ministers in song. Praise God. The word says, wasted years, oh, how foolish. As you walk around in darkness and fear. But the warning is we must turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Evangelist Newville, for that selection of encouragement, of a selection of warning, a selection of checking, you know, checking where you are and to just know that, you know, time is precious and we should not waste the years that God has given us. Praise God. God bless you. At this time, we're going to have our message by our Reverend George Borderwell. We must give thanks to God again for his protection. He was away from us for several weeks, and we prayed and we asked God to cover him while he was out of the country. And when he was in his other country, Jamaica, we asked God to keep him safe, and he's back with us safely. And we take nothing lightly and nothing for granted. So we are thanking God. We're celebrating the fact that God has brought him back to us, and he's able to come this morning with a message. God bless. God bless, and thank you. And Reverend Borderwell, please come forth. Praise God.
Thank you very much, my dear sister, and good morning to everyone. I really give God thanks for taking me out and taking me back safely, and I thank you all for your prayers and your support. I receive a lot of messages while we're in Jamaica. Some of you have not even responded to, but there's no bad feeling. It's just that sometimes I don't get around doing all the things that I should have done. And I hope you understand. I'm so thankful for the song that has been sung this morning, Wasted Years. Wasted Years. It reminds me so much of evangelistic services, you know, calling one to come to know the Lord if you're living a life of wasted years. I'm going to pray this morning, and before I pray, I'm just asking if there's anyone out there this morning. And you know that you have lived a life of wasted years. And you're just counting back your time, looking back in your life and see that you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And you know that if Christ should put in his appearing today, you would not be ready. You'd be counting your life as wasted years. And you know definitely that you can do better. You know the way. And you know what to do. You have not yet done so. I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning to reach out and touch the Lord as he passed by. So as I pray, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and open your heart to God and say, God, I've wasted my time, but I'm glad that there's a little opportunity that is still left. And I'm going to use this opportunity to receive you as my Savior today, Lord. Ask the Lord to come into your heart just right even now before we get into the sermon. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. You are so loving and kind and merciful to all of us. And Lord, you are so powerful. You have extended your presence to the entire world, from one corner to the other corner, from east to west and north to south. Your presence is here. And you know all of us. You search us inside and outside, upside and down. You know our hearts. Oh God, this morning, we invite you to come into our lives. Oh Lord, that none of us may say that our lives have been wasted, But Lord, we can say that we know you in the power of your resurrection. We know you, Lord, by your presence and by the way, Lord, in which you operate in our lives. And we can truly say thanks to you for giving us this life so that we can live the way you want us to live and serve you, Lord, to see a wonderful end. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit to come into our midst this morning and to share with us your words. Bless your words to our hearts this morning. We pray, God, that you'd help us as a church, as a people in this climate, Lord, election climate, to be very peaceful and, Lord, to unite our hearts together in one as we worship you, that the world may know that there's a God in the world. They can see us as Christians and see Jesus Christ through us this morning. Oh God, we pray that you continue to bless us. Pour your Spirit upon us this morning, we pray, as we ask his mercies. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I thank you for praying for me while I was away. I really felt your prayers, and I'm glad that you did. And I too was praying for you, and I'm glad to be back with you in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to know that Pastor is improving and doing well also. So we just want to be very thankful, and we hope that today will be a great day in the house of the Lord. I have spoken to you twice from Ephesians, and I found a few themes or topics in Ephesians that are very interesting to me, and they have been blessing me, and so as a result of that, I keep on sharing them with you. I remember one week I spoke to you on the blessed must bless God. And, you know, that was a topic from Ephesians where I discovered that Paul was saying that those who are blessed by God must bless God. And also, I took another topic from there, which was salvation by grace. That's not a very difficult topic. Everyone knows about salvation by grace. It's often been preached to us times and after, that we are saved by grace. And so then, that's two of the topics. The topic I'd like to talk about this morning, however, is unity in the body of Christ. I have seen other topics too. I don't know. This one I have seen also on the mystery of his will. I'm still thinking about that in my brain and saying, God, just give me some more insight on the mystery of your will. You know, I said, maybe the reason why this has not come home to me so forcefully as yet, even though it's toying over in my mind, is because it is a mystery. And, you know, mystery is not so easy to discover, you know. So when you're talking about mystery and to discover God's mystery, may not be very, very easy. And so I say, wow, this is the mystery of God's will. It's such a great thought. But I have not really put it together, though I'm thinking about it. But the one this morning that I'm going to talk about is unity in the body of Christ. The passage that I would love to bring to us is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. We may pick up other verses as we go along. I'm also wanting us to look at St. John chapter 17. So you could turn your Bibles to St. John 17 as well. But when we get there, I remind you, we are going to start off this morning with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 6. And I read, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to you, to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May God bless his readings to our hearts. Here we see this morning in this passage, Paul encouraging the believers to be one, one in the body of Christ. We are in an election season. Every day we hear so many sound bites that are filled with disunity and divisiveness. The news media and social media are filled with them. We are believers. Must be careful how we accept and promote them. A society that is divided cannot make good success. Jesus said, a kingdom that is divided by itself cannot stand. The nation cannot succeed when we are divided. Neither will the church, the body of Christ, succeed if it is divided among itself. So Paul encouraged us to understand that the body of Christ is one body, but it has several members. And so this morning, we are just looking at the body of Christ. And we must understand that in this world in which we are, among all this divisiveness, divisions and things, we as Christians should not promote divisive messages, but we should stick to what is peace and unity, promote peace and promote unity and love among one another, and disregard things that are not unifying enough, things that are degrading, things that put down other people. Let us not participate with those things, but let us encourage people to do the things that are right. Let us encourage each other to build up one another and to speak the things that are good. Remember, Paul says here that we are members. One, we are just one one body with various members. Everybody cannot be the same. We are all different, but we are connected to the one body. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 to 18, I would just like to read that passage for you. You don't have to turn your Bibles there. I'll just read it for you. It says here, Paul said, there is one body, but it has many parts. But all its many parts, make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit. And so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. people, we were all given the same spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. Suppose the foot say, I am not a hand, so I do not belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear say, I am not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be. And this is something that we as a church, as a people of God, should understand, that every single person in the world, God made us and put us in our own position. And in the church of God, it is the same thing. In the body of Christ, it's one body. And every single person is interconnected by the Spirit of God. So, as people of God, we should not feel ourselves left out or feel ourselves not being apart. In verse 27 of Corinthians chapter 12, this is what Paul says: you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Yes, none of us should feel left out. We are all a part of the body of Christ. And so it doesn't matter who we are this morning. We can't say, okay, we are not belonging to the church, or we are not belonging to the body. Or if something bad happens, we say we are not belonging there. We are all apart. If somebody is feeling pain, all of us feel pain. And if somebody is doing well, we all rejoice with that person because we are all doing well because the one person is doing well. And so this is how the body of Christ operates. We operate with love and with feelings for each other, and we should love each other and work with one another, and we should not allow anyone to feel abandoned or dismayed or put aside or brushed aside because we are just one body. And we hope that in our church, nobody feels that way. We are all a part of this one church, this one body of Christ, and we should feel love and warmth and fellowship as we function in the body of Christ. Here in the passage, Paul doubled down on the oneness in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 6 that I read to you, we see there Paul mentioning several things. He mentioned there the oneness, and seven times he mentioned oneness, and maybe more than seven, I think it might be either seven or eight times, he mentioned the word one. One upholding one another. One as one body. One spirit. One hope. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Wow. Paul just tried to unite everybody. And he's trying to say here, look at it. It is one God, one fellowship. It is one Lord and Master. It is one faith, one baptism. We are all one. We are not separated, and we should not feel ourselves apart from one another. Even though we might not be in the house of the Lord together as we used to be, we may be at several places, but we are one in the Lord, because we are one body in Christ. This oneness is just powerful. It's great for unity. unity in the body of Christ. Peace and unity develops when we know that we are one. We must be careful not to promote divisiveness in the body of Christ. Let us not promote signals of discord among our people. When the election is over, we can still live as one. We must learn to respectfully agree or disagree with one another. There's nothing wrong about disagreeing with other people, but we can respectfully disagree. Use kind words and smile when you have to disagree with other people. When you do not share other people's opinion, you can use kind words. You don't have to be aggressive. Learn how to disagree without malice or without vindictiveness. Learn to respect the opinion of others. Jesus prayed that we be one, even as he and his Father are one. Wives and husbands are one. Members in the church are one. The body of Christ is one. The Ephesians church to which Paul was writing was a typical church in a metropolitan, in a big city. People were pouring into that vibrant city from all over the globe into that big city. And as people were pouring into that city, we could see them coming in from different backgrounds with different kinds of worship. In Ephesians, in the Ephesus church, or another church in Ephesus town, rather, this town has various gods. You have the goddess Diana. And I guess we all know about the goddess Diana. But you also have some other goddesses there and gods. We have the goddess Asclepius. Asclepius was the god of eating. We have the god Aphrodite. Aphrodite was the god of sex. We have the god Artemis. Artemis was the god of childbearing. We have the god of Athena, was the god of war. Hestia was the god of virgins. So we see here that, and there are many more gods in this town. So it was not a town where everybody was worshiping one god. This was a city where people coming from various backgrounds, and they had their various gods, and this city had so many gods. No wonder Paul had to speak specifically to childbearing and to virgins and all of these in Timothy. But we see here that this church had so many gods, and all these people had their various worship and ideas. And as they come into the church, they came into the church bringing with them all these practices. And they have to be corrected. They have to understand that these were practices that were not Christian practices. But not only that, the city was a city that practices witchcraft very largely. Even the high priest, the sons of the high priest, Sceva, was involved in practicing witchcraft. Now, the high priest, remember, the high priest was a Jew, and these are not people who would dare partake in witchcraft. But yet, these sons were participating in this craft. If you should go to the background of Acts chapter 19, you can see it there. Acts chapter 19, and I'm going to read a little portion so that you can see the background there of what used to happen back then. So if you look there in Acts chapter 19, between 13 to 16, you will see how the Ephesians behaved, what they were like, and how they're practicing Obia, or what we would say, witchcraft. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 19. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 16 to give you a background of what used to take place at that time. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took in upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preached." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of his house naked and wounded. So you can understand that in Ephesus, all of these practices were going on, that even the sons of the high priest was a part of the practice of witchcraft in this city. It was in this climate that the Christian church was born in Ephesus. But I want you to look also at verse 19 of chapter 19 in Ephesus, in Acts. Verse 19 says, "Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Wow. So much money worth of books. So much money worth of witchcraft books that were burnt when Christianity came, when Paul got there and began to preach the gospel. These people with all their voodoo books and things that they have, they brought them and threw them in the fire, and over 50,000 pieces of silver were burned. That was a lot in those days. Here we can see, therefore, that in Ephesus, there were different groups of people. You have those with the voodooism, you have those that worship in the various gods, and all these people were coming into the church to become a part of the Christian church. And there, as they become a part of the Christian church, we can see that there were still divisions in the church. So what we see here, the Jews, you know, they call everybody Gentiles. As long as you are not a Jew, you are called a Gentile. And then we see the Greeks. And the Greeks, they would look at the Romans and call them barbarians, because they feel that they were not civilized as they were. So because one group saw the next group as not being as civilized, then they say, okay, that group is not so civilized, so they are barbarians. So let me see here, the Jews calling the Gentiles barbarians, the Greek calling the Romans, the Jews calling the other people Gentiles, the Greeks calling others barbarians, And so we see here that there were lots of separations in the church. You have the free people, those who were free. You have the slaves. Wow, so many different groups of people were there. But among all these groups that were there, you can understand how difficult it was now for the pastors of the church to bring them together as one. We see the church here pulling all these classes of people to become one. This must be a great work on the pastors of the church. The job to maintain unity in the church, in this divided church with so many groups, was not an easy one. Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. This is what he says. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Praise the Lord. Paul is saying here, it doesn't matter what your background was. It doesn't matter what your educational standard was. It doesn't matter whether you're a servant or you're a master. That does not matter. We are all one in Christ. So he's saying here, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond slave nor free, neither male nor female, whether you're a man or you're a woman, it does not matter. We are all one in Christ. Praise the Lord. The church must maintain oneness in Christ. Oneness was very important in those days to Paul. Oneness is still important today in our church. It is still important in the society. It is still important in this diverse society where we see different cultures, different people ascribing to color. Some of us are ascribing to education, some are ascribing to color, some are ascribing to status. Whatever our status are, whatever our education and abilities are, whatever our color is, Paul is saying here, we are one in Christ. Whatever our gender is, we are one in Christ. Over in St. John chapter 17, as I told you, St. John 17, you can turn your Bibles there, and we're going to look at several verses as Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in St. John 17. Turn your Bibles there. He prayed that those who should come into the fellowship of the church may be one. And I read St. John 17 and verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So we see Paul, Jesus praying here, and Jesus saying, Father, I come to you, and I'm asking you to keep my disciples, keep these apostles, let them be one, even as you and I, Father, are one. One in unity, one in fellowship, one in decision making, one. Jesus wanted the church to be one. He wanted all the apostles to be one. And so here he was saying here, he prayed in this respect to the Father. And in verse 20, we see Paul again, rather Jesus again, as he prayed. He did not pray only for the apostles only, but he also prayed for those people who would come after. Not just for those who he had there presently, but he was praying for those who would come behind. People like you and me, who will become a part of the church today in the 20th century. Jesus prayed that we will be one. So in verse 20, at St. John 17, we see these words, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, through their word. So while he prayed there, he was saying, Father, I'm not just praying for these who I have here presently, but I'm looking far in the future. I'm looking in the 20th century and beyond, and I'm praying for those who will come into the church, come into the body of Christ. I am praying also that they also may be one. And if we look also at verse 21, we see him as he continued praying. And this is what he said here, that we all may be one in the body of Christ, in his body. And I read, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So we see here, Jesus was continuing his prayer, and he was saying, God, make them one, so that when these people become one, speaking with one voice, doing things together, sharing together, planning together, working together, when people see this, they will know that you send me to be the Savior of the world. And Paul, Jesus continued praying in verse 17, and chapter 17 and verse 22. He prayed that we would be one as he and his Father are one. In this way, we will enjoy the fullness of his glory. So he prayed there in St. John 17 and verse 22. He was praying that we would be one so that we can enjoy the fullness of God's glory. Let me read for you. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And the glory that thou gavest me, that glory which God gave to Jesus Christ, his Son, he said, I am giving this glory to the believers who are coming behind, so that they can enjoy the oneness. Yes, and by having this oneness, we will enjoy the glory and the power of God in our lives. So here we see the oneness that Jesus prayed for. In this oneness, the beauty of Christ-like living will be found. We should do all we can to bring about unity in the world, in our country, in our community, and in the body of Christ. Whenever we are disappointed about situations in the church, it is not for us to leave our church. It is not for us to go and start our own church, but it is for us to find a way to unite and reconcile our differences. We should not be like the world. We should be different from the world. Paul said to the Philippians, brethren, that unity in the church will make him happy. I quote, this is what he said to the Philippians, brethren. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. In actual fact, Paul is saying, I will be very happy if you, the Philippian brethren, have one mind. If you're in one and you're in one accord, he said, I will be happy. So Paul is saying here that we ought to be happy when the church and the people of God are in one accord and have one mind. Unity in the body of Christ was important. We will rejoice, pastors will rejoice, people rejoice when we all have unity in the body of Christ. We all have individual responsibilities and collective responsibilities to unity and peace within the society and within the church. We should show Christ-like love to all people. Christ-like love for all of the saints of God. The right application of our godly principles. The right interaction with our brethren. Oneness requires Christian love. For us to remain in that oneness, we have to establish Christian love. Jesus prayed, and this is what in St. John 17 and verse 23, he prayed that we should show the world that we are Christians by our love. And I read in St. John 17 and verse 23, I am in them, and thou in me, that they may be one, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So we see here, Jesus is saying that when we come together as one, when we live as one, when we unite as one, when we share as one, the world will know that the real love that extends among us, and then the world will know that Jesus is alive, and Jesus is well, and Jesus is in the world today. Jesus is in the world today, and we as believers can show it by our love and by our oneness and by our fellowship. We can show the world that Jesus is alive today. In prison, Paul was concerned about the unity in the church. Paul was in prison when he wrote to the Ephesians brethren. So I went back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to take a deeper look at verse 4, or rather chapter 4, verse 1 and 5. This is what Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Wow. Paul is saying, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling. What is this worthiness about? Worthy of the calling. Jesus Christ, he looked and he saw us as sinners. As sinners dying without and were lost in sin. Sinners going to hell. But yet, as Jesus saw us in sin, he did not leave us in sin. But Jesus delivered us and will take us back to himself. Christ called us. He forgave us. He showered his mercies upon us. He poured out his love on us and gives us an inheritance in heavenly places. It is for us to prove ourselves worthy of such a calling. He calls us out of sin, and he showers his love upon us. He gives us an inheritance in heaven. And so now, we as a people must show ourselves worthy of this calling. Paul said, I am therefore a prisoner of the Lord. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of this calling to which you have been called. He has called you out of sin, called you to grace, given you a place in heaven. Now God has called you out and given you new life, new way to live, given you an abundance of grace and mercy and love. We must now show ourselves worthy of such a calling. We can show ourselves worthy of this calling. How can we show ourselves worthy of this calling? In verse 2, this is what he said. With humility and gentleness, with patience, holding up one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we see here, Paul is saying here, that yes, you can be worthy. And when you are worthy, you can show yourself worthy. And in showing yourself worthy, you must show in humility. You must show yourself worthy in gentleness. Show ourselves worthy in patience. Show ourselves worthy in love. Show ourselves worthy in eagerness to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes, we must show ourselves worthy of the calling. We are peacemakers and not dividers. How can we be peacemaker today? When someone does not speak of politics, how can we be peacemaker today when you are offended by others? How can we be peacemakers today when there is no unity? How can we be peacemakers today when everyone is seeking his own glory? I said, yes, we can be peacemakers when we focus on Jesus Christ. When we can see Jesus Christ as our central focus, as our Lord and as our Master, when we see Jesus as a central person in our lives, yes, there can be unity, there can be peace when we see Jesus as our central focus. The church is one foundation. The body of Christ is one. Paul emphasizes the oneness in the body of Christ. This is what he says. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 1. There is but one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope, and the one hope that belongs to you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all and through all and in all. We are one, he said, the oneness. As Paul points out these oneness here, I see him in, as we go scroll further down in Ephesians chapter 4, it blessed me when I see how Paul points out the thing that caused people not to be in oneness. He says here in chapter 4, verse 19, 17 to 19, he points out there that the futility of our mind will cause us not to be in unity. We become high-minded and vain to fear. And we show, we become competitive. Who's better than who? And who's better than what? And when we do these things, we create this unity within the body of Christ. Also, he pointed out there in verse 18, he pointed out the hardness of heart. When your heart becomes hardened and you block your mind from understanding other people. He said, yes, that will also create this unity. In verse 18, he also speaks of the callousness of others. When you become callous, insensitive, and disagree, disregard what other people have to say and do. When we disregard others, also that will cause this unity. But in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4, I notice Paul says there, but that is one. But that is not one, not the way you learn Christ. Sorry. In chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. You don't learn Christ in that way of high-mindedness and selfishness and callousness. You don't learn Christ like that. That's not the way we teach Christ. We teach Christ in humility. We teach Christ in the unity of the Spirit. We teach Christ in uniting everyone together, everyone coming together and learning of Christ. In this way, Christ is not learned in dishonesty. He is not learned in dishonesty. And now I notice here there are two things that will cause this unity. Disrespect and dishonesty will always cause this unity. Dishonesty is not when you steal something only. That is called, that you are dishonest. But it's also given to others what you would not like for yourself. If you give to somebody something that you would not like for yourself, it's dishonesty. So you don't have to steal, actually take something from someone. I say, no, that is dishonest. But when you give to somebody something that you don't like for yourself, that's also being dishonest. And so Paul said here, for us to be in unity, then we must learn to share and to give. Now, we're going to look at, if you look at Ephesians chapter 22, and between 22 and verse 32, you're going to see a number of things that Paul lays out there to say, if this is what you should do to be in unity. So we look at, if you should look at verse 22 and downward, you're going to see, I'm just going to mention them, but when you have time, you can read through and you can see them for yourself. We learn, Paul is saying here, this is not how you learn Christ. How do we learn Christ? We learn Christ in verse 22. We learn Christ by put off your own self. Put off corrupt and deceitful desires. So yes, this is how you learn Christ, by putting off your own self. Put off corrupt and deceitful desires. We learn Christ, and in verse 23, he said, we learn Christ when you be renewed in us, in the Spirit and in one mind, by a renewed spirit and by a renewed mind. That's how you learn Christ. In verse 24, we learn to put on the new self. Put on a new man. Become a new person in Jesus Christ. That's how you learn Christ. So you learn Christ in verse 25. In verse 25, you said you learned Christ by in each one of you speaking the truth with your neighbor. He said, yes, when you speak the truth with your neighbor, that's how you learn Christ. You learn Christ so that you can speak the truth with your neighbor. We learn Christ by not being to be angry and sin not in verse 26. To be angry and sin not. We learn Christ that way. We learn Christ in this way. In verse 27, learn to give no opportunity to evil, to the devil. So yes, when you learn Christ, you will not give opportunity to the devil. And in verse 28, he said, we learn Christ by to stop stealing. And he said, he who steals, let him don't steal anymore. So we learn Christ, even if you actually stop it. That's how we learn Christ. We don't learn Christ and still continue to steal. We learn Christ, speak the things that will build up one another. Yes, in verse 29, that's what he said. So here, this is how you learn Christ. You learn Christ in a way in which you do not speak derogative things against each other. You do not speak corrupt things against one another. But you learn Christ by speaking good things that will build up one another. Yes, you learn Christ not to grieve the Holy Spirit. In verse 30, that's what he said. In verse 31, he said, we learn Christ to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. That's how we learn Christ. When we learn Christ, we know that we put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and malice. In verse 32, the final verse, he said, we learn Christ to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Wow, it's powerful. This is how we learn Christ. And he said here, if we learn Christ in this way, the unity of the Spirit will prevail. We will prevail in the unity of the Spirit. In this country, in this time, election time, where people become very divisive, where we get so many sound bites of divisiveness, we as a people of God learn Christ. And by learning Christ, we know that we are not to participate in divisive tools, but we should give more service and more of our time and concentration to things that promote unity and peace among us, things that promote joy, things that promote good things. Let us do that as we learn Christ, because this is how we learn Christ. We learn Christ to promote the good things and not the bad things. I encourage you today, loved ones, to, as we think about the unity in the body of Christ, in the early church, the Holy Spirit manifests itself when the people were in one accord. The Holy Spirit will have his full course among believers, where we promote peace and unity. I encourage you today, as a people of God, to promote peace and unity among ourselves, among the church, among our community, among the society. I urge you today, loved ones, to promote love and peace. Be of one heart, one love, one hope, and one mind in Christ Jesus. May God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Bardo, for such a wonderful word to us today.
mentioned, if we would just examine ourselves and understand that the things that we want for ourselves should be what we want for each other. You know, if we love a peaceful life, life of joy, then we should also wish that for our brothers and our sisters. If we consider ourselves as being a part of each other, member of each other, we wouldn't want to destroy ourselves. So the things that we do to others, we are doing to ourselves. So we thank you today for this wonderful word, that we are members one of another, and that as a church, we are to promote unity in the bond of peace. You know, we shouldn't give place to the devil. When we fail to live in unity, we are giving place to the devil. So may God help us today. May God bless our hearts as we have heard this word, and may we be challenged. And if we find ourselves at a place where we are not living according to what Paul mentioned in the church at Ephesus, today is a day when we can ask God to change our lives so that we promote unity, oneness, and love in the church. I would pray for you today and ask that as you are, where you are, that you will also pray for yourselves so that you will be among those that are promoting love, unity, peace, and joy in the fellowship. We all need to be loved, and we should be prepared to give love also if we want to be loved. If we want peace, we should also promote peace among our brothers and our sisters. We shouldn't see our brothers and sisters as enemy wanting to destroy us, but we should promote peace, love, trust, and confidence in one another. And with that, we'll be promoting unity in the body of Christ. So let us pray as we prepare to close, and I trust that your hearts have been blessed with the word today, and that you will examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, whether you are living up to what has been said today according to the word of God in Ephesians chapter 4, the church at Ephesus. Our Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, for your mercies. Thank you for your words. Our hearts have been blessed. Our eyes have been opened to what you required from us as members of the church, as believers, as a part of the body. We are all members one of another. We thank you for your words. Thank you for speaking to us today. May we not just hear your words, Lord, but may we be doers of your words. Thank you again for your servant. Thank you for this day. I pray your blessing upon those who have heard your words, that they will make the right decision to live in unity, one with each other, promoting unity and oneness in the church. Hear us now, Father. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I pronounce the benediction, just want to again emphasize what is coming up this week. Starting on Tuesday, we'll be having 7 days of fasting in regards to our upcoming election, that God would grant unity, would grant peace, and that all things will be done in order, in decency, that there'll be no destruction of property or lives as a result of what will take place. So I pray that you will join us, as you have been told, the hours of fasting, 6 to 6, starting on Tuesday. If you can do the 12 hours, then 6 hours. If you can do more than one day, then it's up to you. But at least one day of fasting we are asking for each member of the church to do. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. May God help us all to promote peace and harmony in the church, in the body of Christ. We are members one of another. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the day.